Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Waste no time. Let's get to the aforementioned, our very own Cleveland sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. And he's brought to you at courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, how are we doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm battling a little bit of a sickness. Not typical of this time, but hey, we're fighting through it. We're okay. Could be better. Browns could have won. That would have helped.
Sometimes you got to play hurt. So kudos to you.
Hey,
now don't get the rest of the station sick.
That's always the goal, right? We always wipe down our stuff. It wouldn't be here if I thought I was getting everybody else sick. I think we're in an okay spot.
All right. But
Daryl, obviously Browns, not the most fun thing to talk about right now. A little disappointing. 1-5.
You were expecting something different?
No, I think that's actually okay. Where a lot of this lies is they lose 23-9 to the Steelers. They drop to 1-5. How much of that can you sit and sort of, I guess, attribute to the six-game gauntlet we looked at the preseason and the fact that this is where a lot of people predicted them to be?
Well, I think that the issue is how they got to 1-5 and the fact that this offense is unwatchable. It is boring. It is dink and dunk. There is zero entertainment value attached to it. I would rather watch Jameis Winston throw four interceptions in a game than watch Dylan Gabriel dink and dunk his way down the field and also try and get receivers killed on the regular too, which might explain why there's some alligator arms going on. So, I mean, I expected this, but I also expected a little more energy from the offensive side of the ball. This is now 11 straight games going back to last season in which the Browns have failed to score more than 17 points. And that's just ridiculous. And somebody's getting fired for that at some point because this can't continue. If you're going to lose, be entertaining doing it. Don't be incompetent doing it. And right now, the offense is incompetent.
If you had to predict right now, Daryl, what would be the win total you give the Browns to finish at the end of the year?
3.
That doesn't feel good.
No, I thought they doubled their win total at 6, but based on what I've seen offensively, it's probably going to be, you know, they'll be lucky to match what they did a year ago.
I mean, Daryl, I just think I'm in a more positive spot. I mean, not that I think this team's good in any way, but I feel like I'm in a more positive spot in that. Just looking at the schedule you have ahead, because we talk about that gauntlet, a lot of it that went into it was, yes, the offense is still bad, but you played some really good defenses. The defensive schedule should lighten up a decent amount here in the coming weeks playing the Dolphins and the Jets. No?
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a winnable game, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also the Browns. So maybe it's not a winnable game. And therein lies the problem. But you look at the matchup on paper and you're like, yeah, this is a game that the Browns should be very competitive in, if not win. And I have zero confidence that they're going to do that. I think you're starting to see some cracks in the foundation. Kevin Stefanski yesterday given an opportunity to defend Andrew Berry after Mike Tomlin ripped Andrew Berry a new one, and Kevin chose not to. You're seeing Jerry Jeudy's frustration offensively come out. You're seeing Myles Garrett's frustration, which I don't know why he took the money to stay. He knew what it was. He knew this team wasn't ready to contend. He told everyone at the Super Bowl last year it was that, and that's why he wanted out of here. But he took the money to stay, so I think Myles Garrett just needs to grin and bear it because, well, this is what you signed up for. But you are seeing the frustrations from the lack of production offensively being the reason why they're losing games. They're not losing games because of the defense. They're losing games because the offense can't do anything.
Hey, Daryl, I asked you last week if you thought there was sort of an organizational divide, right? Like, if between Barry and Stefanski was there, does it feel like that's more evident that this week that that's actually a thing?
Well, I don't know if there's an organizational divide, but like I said, you're seeing some cracks in the foundation. And, you know, I don't think it's guaranteed that everybody comes back next year. I'm not saying that the Haslams are there yet as far as being ready to move on from everyone, but I'm just saying it's not guaranteed that they, you know, that they won't decide to do that in the offseason. Remember, Jimmy Haslam wants them to win more games than they did a year ago. They won three. I think they're going to win three. And last time I checked, three equals three, and that's not more than what you did a year ago. So, yeah, there also needs to be substantial improvement. Okay. Did Dylan Gabriel look better in start number two from start number one? No, I would argue he looked worse. So, you know, you need to see some progression. And I don't know that just the fact that the bulk of this rookie class, the Mason Grahams of the world, the Carson Schlesingers of the world, Judkins, you know, et cetera, I don't know that that class is going to save Kevin Stefanski's job for him. So, again, you're 3-19 in your last 22, and you're not scoring points. You're not doing much. Actually, they're 4-19 in their last 23 games, and they've scored less than 20 points, or scored more than 20 points, I should say, in just three of those games. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski is supposed to be this adaptive offensive wizard, and we're not seeing that right now. And again, you know, you don't have a quarterback that can push the ball down the field, which is a key staple of Kevin Stefanski's offense. You got Jerry Jeudy last week talking about, hey, hopefully this is the week we can stretch the field. Guess what happened in Pittsburgh? They did not stretch the field, right? And so I just have very little hope that this is going to get any better. I don't care what the schedule says. I don't care what the level of competition is. This offense has not shown the ability to play with anybody.
Daryl Ryder with us here on the hotline. Daryl, I mean, you laid out everything there. How do you go about sort of divvying up the blame for what's here right now between a lack of quarterback play, a lack of offensive playmakers, and then just downright to Kevin Stefanski himself?
Andrew Berry bought the groceries, and the groceries are rotten. So I think he shares in the blame. Now, this all might be part of his master plan. Maybe this is the master plan. Maybe they are supposed to be losing this year, right? It's similar to what we saw a couple years ago when they went 1-31, right? They wouldn't say that outright that they were not trying to win, but it was pretty evident that, yeah, they really weren't trying to win, right? Until they, you know, finally fired Hugh Jackson. And then, you know, yeah, but we really are trying to win right now. And then what happened? Greg Williams came in and they won five of those eight games that he ended up serving as the interim coach, right? So, you know, I would say this, if you're trying to win, maybe you repeat. Maybe you fire Stefanski, you put Jim Schwartz in there and let him run it for the stretch run of the season. Now, I'm not advocating for Kevin to be fired. I'm just hypothetically speaking and trying to draw some correlations here. But I also kind of feel like, you know, I don't know that the front office is too terribly disappointed that they're sitting at 1-5 right now privately. Now, publicly, obviously, when we talk to Andrew Berry at the bye week, he's, you know, probably, you know, going to, you know, make it seem like he's just devastated that they're where they're at. But considering they have two first-round picks next year, something tells me they'd really, really like to have that number one or number two pick in the draft.
Hey, Daryl, you bring up Jim Schwartz, which a lot of people have brought up Jim Schwartz over the past couple of weeks. Do you have any indication that he'd actually want to be a head coach? Because I know he didn't really want to be a defensive coordinator before taking the job at the Browns. That's why he was a senior consultant in Tennessee. Is there any feeling inside, outside the building that he'd actually want that job if it was available to him?
What, here in Clipwell, it's an interim job. So it's not, you know, it's not like you're giving it to him full time. And then, you know, you'd have to determine, you know, if he wants to interview for it or whatever in the offseason. Because remember, you have to go through that process in January. But look, I think if they elevated him, he'd do it. But whether or not he'd want it full time, well, remains to be seen. But again, I'm not advocating for a change. I'm not saying that Kevin should be fired. But at the same time, it's really hard for me to sit here and defend anything that I'm watching with Kevin Stefanski's offense.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Right now, because it's unwatchable, it's untenable, it's pathetic, it's embarrassing week in and week out that it's this bad. It doesn't matter. He's had a dozen quarterbacks since he's been here, and I understand that. It doesn't matter what the quarterback is these last 2 years, and he's had like 6 of them on the field. It doesn't produce. And at the same time, you've got to adapt. You've got to build your game plans around these with what you have. And I think that from my perspective, and this is just my opinion, I kind of feel like Kevin's a little stubborn, you know?
Yeah.
You know, hey, this is what you got me? Well, okay, we're still going to run things my way. And, you know, it'll be just a shame if the guys you gave me to do things the way I want don't really do things the way I want.
It does definitely sort of feel like that. I would definitely re-up on that position. Do you really feel like a mid-season firing would be on the table with this organization?
I just don't think it makes sense right now. Especially if, again, privately you're sitting there saying, yeah, you know, it's a shame this offense is unwatchable, but you know what? I'm not hating the fact that we're in position to have the, you know, we're competing for the first pick in the NFL draft when we want to be able to take our pick of these quarterbacks, whoever they may be. And even though I'm not real crazy about any of them right now, because none of them are really playing at a level that I think they're deserving a number one pick status, right? You know, everyone thought it was going to be, you know, like Arch Manning, and Arch Manning's made a disaster for Texas. He's nowhere near ready to come. He should stay in school another year. But I don't know that that solves a problem. I think that firing Kevin would just basically be a performative, give the fans a pound of flesh, make it look like you're doing something to try and turn things around or whatever. And I don't necessarily believe that that ultimately is going to, you know, result in a seismic shift like we saw in 2018 when Hugh Jackson got fired and they ended up winning 5 of their final 8 games in the season. I don't know that that type of a turnaround would happen here, because the offensive line is decimated. The left tackle, you're better off sticking a trash can at left tackle right now. Your running game is predictable, okay? The Steelers showed no respect for your passing game, and rightfully so on Sunday. You don't have a quarterback that can see where he's throwing the football. When he does throw the football, he's either going to get people killed or it's dink and dunk, okay? You're dependent on strictly yards after catch, okay? And again, that just is a non-functioning, horrible offense. Receivers aren't catching the ball with any level of consistency either. So, I mean, like, yeah, you think firing Kevin Stefanski automatically is going to make Dylan Gabriel better quarterback? It's going to make these receivers catch footballs more? It's going to make the offensive line more effective? It's going to, you know, it's going to create a left tackle that can actually block something, you know, out of thin air? No, it's not. So, you know, I'm about problem solving right? Mm-hmm. And there are a myriad of problems that the Cleveland Browns have. And at least as we have the conversation now, I don't think firing Kevin Stefanski solves those problems. Now, if you get into January and the season's over and you're like, okay, you know what? He's been here 6 years. We kind of need a different voice in that locker room. I'll certainly hear that argument because the results the last couple of years have been what they've been. And when you spend over $620 million or $650 million these last 2 years combined on the roster, and you might have six wins for that, right? You're spending $100 million per win. If I'm ownership, I want to know why I'm setting all that kind of money on fire, right? I think that there does have to be accountability for that. But also, too, remember when they went 1-31, they also spent a lot of money to lose. Remember the Brock Osweiler trade with the Houston Texans, right? It was like $16 million to get a second-round pick. They haven't made those type of moves here. But, yeah, I mean, they got to put a better product on the field for fans to watch. And that's the thing. Again, if you're going to lose, be entertaining losing. They're not entertaining. They're boring. And the defense is doing everything they can to hang tight. Okay, you're down 9-3 at halftime. That's doable. You're in the ballgame. You got a shot. But that 9-3 deficit felt like it was 28-3 because the offense has just been so dysfunctional and non-functioning and inept. So, I mean, that's where the problems are. It's not with the defense. It's with the offense. And the guy that's in charge of the offense is the head coach.
Daryl Ryder with us here on the Fan Hotline. Daryl, do you feel like there's more trades on the way right now for the Browns than what we've gotten?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Two names, Shelby Harris, David Njoku. Those are the two I think you got to keep an eye on here. Again, not advocating for it, but it just It makes sense to move both of those players. You're probably not going to extend Njoku. You're probably not going to extend Shelby Harris, so you move on from them. The Schefter piece over the weekend for ESPN.com, I saw that he mentioned all three interior offensive linemen for the Browns. I think that would be complete stupidity to trade any of them. Your offensive line is decimated as it is, right? And you're struggling as it is. So, yeah, let's take the guys who can actually block people and trade them. That is a very high level of stupidity in my view. I don't have a problem with the Greg Newsome trade because you traded starter for starter. And also, too, you got a guy that's under team control now for the next couple of seasons. So, no issue with that. Joe Flacco, no issue with that, just because you benched him, okay? And once you bench him, there's you're past the point of no return there. Surprised he went to the Bengals, but I can't argue with what Andrew Berry has done so far with the trades. And certainly, again, if they traded Shelby Harris, if they traded David Njoku, it'd be very hard for me to argue against those trades as well. But if you start moving these offensive linemen, I'm going to have an issue with that because, like I said, your offense is struggling as it is, and you will make the development, if this is really about the development of Dylan Gabriel and eventually Shedeur Sanders, don't you want some folks in front that can keep those guys on their feet, right? So trading them would not make sense.
Daryl, at what point is this locker room loss? Like, is it now? Is it a Miami loss that would do it? Is it a trade of a guy like Njoku? It just feels like at some point the locker room crumbles in a way that there's no trust in Stefanski. I'm just trying to pinpoint where that actually comes.
Well, I think if you get a couple more offensive performances like this, I mean, you can tell the defense is getting a little fed up, right? Yeah. So at some point that's going to boil over. And if that continues, then yeah, at some point it's going to break. And they're just, they're human, right? There's a million hell with this. We're busting our tails out there. And this offense, can't do anything. So it's human nature to see that fracture. And this is where we're going to find out just how good of a leader Kevin Stefanski is. Because being a head coach isn't just about X's and O's. People, you're a CEO. You have to deal with these guys as players. You have to deal with them as human beings and things that are going on in players' life. You have to know how to push their buttons to get the most out of them and bring out that passion, that emotion, right, out of them. And, so all that leads to the results you see on Sunday. And I'll just say this. not a lot of passion on the offensive side of the football. There is passion on the defensive side because Jim Schwartz gets it out of those guys. You know, even when they make mistakes, Jim's like, hey, man, okay, you know what? You made a mistake. Don't let it happen again, but you made the mistake because you were trying to make a play. Like, we can live with those, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like mental. I can live with a physical mistake. I can't live with a mental mistake. And, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, not only do they have physical mistakes. I mean, my God, Isaiah Bond wasn't even looking for the football at the goal line. Hit him in the side of the head. Like, I don't think there's a play that encapsulates this Browns offense better than that particular play. Not paying attention, probably not where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, not even looking for the football, clearly not on the same page. I mean, yeah, and again, that's on Kevin Stefanski to fix.
Daryl, it was a disappointing conversation, a very depressing conversation, and none of it your fault. Thank you to the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, you know what? They did give the city of Cleveland $100 million so they can move to Brook Park, and let's hope the football team's a hell of a lot better in 4 years than it is today.
They sure did, and we're hoping that does lead to something. Daryl, we got to run, but we appreciate you.
You bet.
Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, with us there on the hotline, courtesy of Shiving Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what Daryl had to say as well at 216-474-0092. How far away is Kevin Stefanski from losing the locker room? We'll answer that in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volney on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.